Remember to support us with your tithe and offering. And I'm going to be honest with you, this last prior month and this month have been a little bit difficult for us. And so we need your help so that we can pay for all of the things that we have to pay for. And so please remember us. There's any number of ways you can give. Please remember to support us. Amen. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, the book of Acts, I'm going to read a historical event that actually happened in the early church. In fact, this is the first miracle that happened after the resurrection and after the baptism or the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. This is the first miracle that was ever performed by the apostles. Beginning with verse 2 of Acts 3, it says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for the engrafted word that is able to save the soul. I would ask you today that you would use this vessel. Help me, God, to slow down, to bring out all the beauty of your word. Lord, I ask you that you'd give me an unction. Lord, that if I move past anything that you once said, that you'll slow me down and make sure that a certain sound is made. Anoint the ears of your people, Lord, that they might hear with their ear and believe with their heart and receive it into their souls. And Father, we ask you as well to bless the offering that we're going to receive today, Lord, from here in the worship room or across the internet. Lord, that you would bless these families, these people that believe you to such an extent that they would give of their livelihoods to promote the kingdom of God. We ask your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. How many's read this story before? And so we know the outcome that Peter and John, again, in the first miracle after Pentecost, they raise this man up and give him the ability to walk. That is the historical story that actually happened. In Christian theology, there is a rule called the rule of double reference. It's used throughout the Bible. And that rule simply means that God is able in his omniscience to take a situation, to take a historical event, something that happened in the lives of perhaps here the apostles or even the prophets of old, and it means what it means, this happened, but then there is another reference that can have impact even thousands of years later. So yeah, although he did this at this time, and it means what it means at this time, it also can have reference to future generations. And that is the case with this story. This lame man, it says he was lame from his mother's womb. That means that as a little child, he never learned to crawl. He never learned to pull up on a table or pull up on something to steady himself, to know how to gauge his balance. He had never walked. And it typifies every human being that has ever walked this planet. This is how we come into the world. We are lame. Not only lame in terms of our inability to balance ourselves in the physical respect, but we are morally lame. Meaning that we don't have the ability to walk right before God. And we're this way from our mother's womb, born lame, and the majority of the human race never learn how to walk spiritually. They never learn how to have a proper moral walk. And so this man really, he not only represents the world at large, he represents every Christian coming into this world lame. Now think back to your own childhood. I know in mine, I didn't. I knew that if I stole something, my parents wouldn't like it, but I didn't know why. I had no idea that God said, "Thou shalt not." Nobody told me. And I imagine even if they did tell me, I would not have cared because their sin nature is so alive and prominent in my life. And I know you may have had a different circumstance, but I can tell you, you were still lame in some regard. Can anybody give me an amen this morning? So this certain man, he represents all people, including Christians, lame from his mother's womb, and he was carried. You know, something that I've noticed in since I've gotten a little bit older and I look at my experience in life is that people are so easily carried away. Wherever the crowd goes, that's where people go. I was reflecting on this earlier this morning, and when I was growing up, nobody, unless you were like a real sailor, nobody had tattoos. Nobody. It wasn't a thing. When I was growing up, there were a few women had pierced ears, but there was almost virtually no one that even had pierced ears. No, it wasn't 500 years ago. It was more recent than that. But as soon as the cultural winds get under society, we're carried away till now. I mean, the tattoo thing is absolutely crazy. And now they're finding out it actually causes problems later in life from the poison of the ink. We got tattoos. I mean, folks are so tatted up, so many piercings in their face, their eye, their nose, their lip, their tongue, everywhere you can imagine. And it shows that man, lame, unable to walk, easily carried away. He was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. It means that this inability to walk is a daily thing. It's not like you have a few good days and then maybe a bad day. It means that except Jesus teach you how to walk, you're walking in lame, in a lame aspect, every single day of your life. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about adultery and smoking dope and getting drunk and murdering people. I'm not talking about that. It includes that. But I'm talking about envy and strife and malice, and bitterness, and backbiting, and impatience, a disregard for your brother, apathetic heart towards your sister. I'm talking about all those qualities that you do not see in Christ. That is the lameness of our walk. Has anybody gotten mad when you didn't want to? I raised my other hand for you. Because it happens to all of us, unless we're tightly disciplined by Jesus Christ, we will show out. And so this is the daily event that happens in the lives of those who are not walking in the discipline of Christ. And here's what I'm saying. You can be a born-again Christian and still have a lameness in your life. I've had it, and I'm almost sure that every person in this room has something in their life that this is the area that I've not yet learned to walk morally according to God's word. And you can lie if you want to. You can say, oh no, brother, I'm all of that. I'm all of it. But an old guy in a truck is gonna slam his brakes in front of you sooner or later. And we're gonna see if you're all that or not. He was laid at the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And so this man was reduced to being much like a panhandler that you might see on the highway. This is how he made his living. It's all that he was able to do because he had no mobility. He couldn't get a job. He couldn't do anything. And if you've ever watched like professional panhandlers, if you're driving up to an intersection, they're not looking at anybody. They're scanning everybody to see who will make eye contact, whose window is going down. They're looking for the person that's going to respond to them, but they're asking for something from everybody. And that's what this man was doing. He's scanning the crowds. He's looking and he probably has some thing that he repeatedly said, alms for the poor, alms for the poor, because if he didn't get alms, he didn't eat. He was laid at the gate, Beautiful. Now, this gate is part of the temple. It was actually the temple that Zerubbabel rebuilt after the Babylonian exile. And then Herod expanded this temple, and he filled it with silver and gold. It was, in fact, this gate is called beautiful because of the all of the decorations, all of the expensive things that were there. And this is where this lame man was positioned every single day. I thought how beautiful our churches are now. We have some of the most beautiful churches in the history of Christianity. Our technology is over the top. But yet this man laid at the gate beautiful. He did not get what he needed because your answer is not in the church. Your answer is in Jesus. Your answer is not in the preacher. Your answer is in Jesus. Even when John and Peter healed this man, they said immediately, why are you looking at us as if though by our own might we made this man whole? They said, no, it was Jesus in the name of Jesus Christ that caused this man to be whole. And so sometimes we become disillusioned by all of the wonderful church amenities that we have, all of the glamorous words that preachers can preach, and we don't have our eyes on Jesus Christ and our need. That lameness that you have in your life today, that inability to walk morally before God, bring that to the top of your heart and give it to Jesus. Say, Lord, deal with this thing. Help me with this thing. Verse 3 says, this man who seen Peter and John about to go in the temple asked them for an alms. Now again, he's just scanning the crowd. He's not really looking at Peter and John. He's looking at everybody walking past, seeing who's going to react to him. Who's going to make eye contact with him. And so he's asking them just like he's asking the rest of the crowd, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And verse 4 says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now that lets you know he wasn't looking at him previously, or they wouldn't have had to say that. He's looking at the entire crowd. He's looking for who's going to respond. You know, it's something about men, when we have a need, we always go to the wrong place first. We always look for other men to help us before we look to Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is the last ditch effort. When every other aspect, every other option has been exhausted, then we kind of look towards Jesus. But these two, Peter and John, representatives of Jesus. Now, when they said, look on us, understand this, they said that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This was the Holy Spirit speaking out of them. And how do you know that? Because it's in the inspired Word of God. It's in the Word of God. The Word of God is inspired. Therefore, what they're saying is under inspiration, look on us. And what does it mean? It means even when you're not looking at God, He's looking at you. He's looking to do good by you. He's looking to be a blessing in your life. But so many times we don't look on Him and focus on Him and give Him our attention. We have an attitude almost like, God, if you bless me, I really need it. But it's kind of take it or leave it. I wish you'd bless me, but if you don't, I've got a few other irons in the fire over here that I'm working out. Maybe I can bless myself. They say, look on us. You know, it's important that we look at Jesus Christ. This has been God's cry throughout all of the Bible to humanity. Look on us. Look on me, as I should say. When you go back to the Old Testament, it's in Isaiah 45, 22. It's the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all you ends of the earth. He's trying to get man, and that includes Christian man, in our problems, in our circumstance, in our brokenness, to look upon the Master because He's the only one that can fix it. You know, it's an amazing thing that man in his pursuit of knowledge thinks that he can fix things that he absolutely cannot fix. And every time he comes upon a new plateau of knowledge, He turns it into a weapon. It caused more havoc than he caused before he had that knowledge. We're right now on the very brink of super intelligent AI. Don't you know that before it is anything, it will be a weapon? And so many times we look to solve problems ourselves, and God is saying, look on me, all ye ends of the earth. For I am he, and besides me, there's none other. Even in the New Testament, we see it again. We're told by the writer of Hebrews, run this race with patience, doing what? Looking upon Jesus. It doesn't mean look at him. It means look on him. That phrase in the Greek, it means to focus your attention upon the person of Jesus Christ. You can't get that from Netflix. YouTube will not give you that. You have got to get into the Word of God with prayer and study and let God begin to open up the eyes of your understanding so that you're able to see down into the water of His Word and see all of the beautiful riches that lie just under the surface of His water. Look on us. And the lame man, he gave heed. That means he now put his full attention upon these two apostles, John and Peter. He put his full attention. Before, he just spanning the crowd. But now he's got his full attention. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Now, what he was expecting was a handful of shekels, a few farthing. Can you give me your chump change? That's what it would be, he was expecting if you put it in our terminology. Just a few change. What do you expect from God? See, many times we expect too little. Let me rephrase that. Most of the time we expect too little. Did you know I spent 7 years as a crack cocaine addict? I could not keep $2 in my pocket. I would go to the dope house. Coming out of that, it would be very difficult for me to expect this. It's almost beyond comprehension. It would be almost, how dare you even ask for something like that, you ex-crackhead, you. But in reality, it was God's heart all the time. He just had to teach me first how to walk right. And so when you ask for something, my God, ask big. Ask big. He's a big God. The scripture even says, is there anything too hard for God? You may have had a hang up that has been with you since you've been a little child. A brokenness in your personality that you wrestle with all of your life. You don't talk about it. You don't tell nobody about it. But you know that thing is in you, and it's a brokenness. My God is just like the man, the lame man who could not walk, no moral walk. You have no moral walk. Give it to Jesus. Set all of your focus upon him and give it to the master. Set all of your attention upon him. See, we got too many Christians that's walking around like this. Man, I'm perfect. I'm perfect. Hallelujah. I'm perfect. No, he will teach you how to walk correctly in your moral walk without a limp if you would just give it to Jesus. Look upon us is what the apostle said. That doesn't mean look at the preacher. That means look at the master, because he's the one that does the work. He gave heed expecting to receive something, but what he was expecting was the wrong thing. I can almost say, in absolute surety, that whatever you ask God for is too little. Verse 6 says, Peter said unto him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Now stop right there. This man is laying at the gate, beautiful. The temple is filled with silver and gold, all of which does him no good whatsoever. See, too much of our time is made up in the pursuit of money. I know you got to pay your bills. I'm not fighting that. I got to pay mine too. But what I'm saying is that I don't need to be a millionaire. I need to have Jesus fully in my life. If I had $10 million and I left it to my children and to my grandchildren, I left just $3,000, $4,000 for each of my grandchildren, they're going to grow up spoiled brats that don't know the value of a dollar, that don't know what it is to have to hustle, that have no self-discipline. But if I give them a good dose of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, when I'm gone, the Holy Ghost will still be teaching them. Praise God. Silver and gold have I none. Peter was saying, we're busted, man. We're broke, dude. We got nothing. That's what he was saying. Now, this temple is filled with gold, but we ain't got nothing. But then he turned around and said, but such that I have. Now, that tells you something. Peter had it, and he knew he had it. My. That's fresh off the press. That's not in my notes. God just gave me that. He had it, and he knew he had it. He said, silver and gold have I none, but that what I have, I'm fit to give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Hallelujah. He knew he had it. See, this is a walk with God. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? It was the same Peter. Ananias fell dead, and Sapphira came in, his wife, several hours later and told the same lie that got him killed. Peter knew it. Go back and read your Bible. Peter spoke death on that woman. He said, the same feet of them men that carried your husband out and buried him, they finna carry you out. He spoke that, and she fell dead on the spot. Yeah, he had it, and he knew he had it. Glory to God. And in the second case where he spoke death on her, it caused fear in the church. Not a tormenting fear, a reverence for God. My God, that's what we need now. We need a reverence for God. The church has almost lost all reverence. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You see, when Jesus gets involved, he doesn't have to flex his muscle to fulfill your need. The scripture says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask, wait a minute, or even think. So he's not straining in your situation. He's waiting for you to focus yourself fully upon him. Set your full attention upon him and honestly give him that thing. I've had a situation in my life since I was a little boy. I won't share it because I don't want to. You know, you can just have something in your personality and then you get saved and you realize, well, this isn't right. What in the world is going on here? This is not right. I'm not doing that anymore. Right before you do it again. And again, and again, and again, and again. And it goes on for years. It goes on for decades. And finally you say, what in the world? I've been walking with you too long. When are we going to deal with this thing? And as I begin to focus on it with the Holy Spirit, that thing is beginning to just dissipate like a vapor. It's just falling like petals off of a plant. But the thing is that you got to focus on it. Is anybody getting help from this? I'll give you another, and I'm a little off my message. I got a few more minutes. I'll give you another situation as a young Christian. Before I was a Christian, I was a drug addict. That's what I did. That was my lifestyle. And so when I got saved, I still like to do drugs. And it took a while. Actually, most of the drugs fell off immediately on the day I got born again. But there was one I just liked a lot. Kind of like some of you like Budweiser. And I would just keep going back and messing with that thing. And over the course of the first, 10 years of my salvation, that thing grew up into a full-blown Goliath that I was not able to handle anymore. It got so bad, the addiction got so bad, I'm not making this up, they put me into a mental institution. I'm not talking like charter, I'm talking about where real crazy people are at. And I was so broken. I was so humiliated. I was so disgusted that I fell across the bed when I went to my room. I said, God, I can't go any further. I can't go any further. This is as far as I can go. And as I laid there weeping, just like that, I felt it on the inside. The addiction was gone. In 1 second, I had struggled for 7 years. And in 1 second, I felt it on the inside. It was gone. I had been a lame man the whole time and I couldn't walk, but the Master touched my life and took away all of this that I could not do and gave me the ability to walk correctly before Him so that He could do what He wanted to do in my life. He'll do the same thing for you. It doesn't have to be an addiction. Because most of us don't have an addiction problem. Most of us have a personality problem. You ever talk too fast? You said it and you wished you didn't right after you said it. Am I the only one that got that issue? Jesus can fix that issue. When I rolled down my window to talk to the guy in the truck, I didn't have in my mind what I was going to say. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't happy. But when I opened my lips, Jesus came out. And so I just went along with Him. Hallelujah. And He took him by the right hand, verse 7 says, and Peter and John, He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Now get this now, this man never learned how to walk as a baby. He doesn't know anything about how to balance his body on two legs. He never learned how to put one leg up and maintain your balance and then do the other leg. But the Bible says immediately, not only did he receive strength in his legs, but God supernaturally put the mental ability in his mind of how to balance himself, and he was very good at it because verse 8 said, he, leaping up, stood and walked. And entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus can do. Again, let me summarize what I'm saying today. All of us have a moral lameness in some aspect of our life. You can put on the most holy face you want to, but I know it's there. And you know it's there, and the Holy Ghost knows it's there. And he brought this message so that you could look on him. Look on him. He can fix that thing. I've noticed over the years, early on in my salvation, the lameness was quite bad. It was quite bad. But over the years, as I've walked with Jesus, my gait, my ability to walk, it has just gotten better and better and better. And so now things that used to trip me up, that I'd stumble, that I'd fall, I'm able to just step right around those because God has given me the ability to walk outside of my lameness. Now understand, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I'm better than I ever been. Since the time I've been on this planet, I've never walked where I'm walking today, and I like it. He's changing my personality, and I found out something the other day. The guy he's changing me into, I like him better than the guy that I was. Amen. The change that he's making, I like him, and I look forward to having the personality of Jesus Christ, and I want that. I want that. Just recently, the Lord dealt with me. I have an Instagram account, and I spend time sometimes. You know how you just go through, scroll through Instagram looking at different things. And God dealt with me. It's just like maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago. He said, it's time to take that off your phone. You're wasting too much time. And he was right. Because you look at all that, and it's like, I didn't learn anything. It's just kind of, you know, weird stuff. And so I took it off, and lo and behold, over the last, 48 hours, I have watched several hours of what this AI thing is so that I can wrap my head around what's coming at us. It's not necessarily good. It could be, but it won't be. And so if you lay aside some of the stuff that just wastes your time, man, it's so quiet in here. Social platforms waste your time. And the scripture says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Praise God. Would you bow your heads all over the room? Father, I've done my very best today to speak, Lord, that you've given me. Lord, the lameness of our lives, the lameness of our walk. Lord, help us to do as the man in Acts 3 did. Help us to look upon you. Help us to look up expecting to receive something from the master's hand. Lord, not with the take it or leave it attitude, not with the take it or leave it mentality. But God, in a desperation, Lord, I'm expecting to receive something from you. And God, I ask you big, that I need, Lord, not just a minor tweak, but exceedingly abundantly above. Father, I come to you today. Would you stand to your feet all over the room this morning? Stand to your feet. Whatever area of life is nobody else's business but you and the Holy Spirit, that lameness is impacting, just lift that up to Jesus Christ right now. Just under your voice. Come on, just lift your hands to heaven and say, Father, you know what it is and I know what it is. God, we both know I can't fix it by myself. I have tried again and again and again, but I can't fix it. So, Lord, this morning I focus upon you. I focus upon your mighty power, and I ask you that you would move on my behalf. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning, won't you? Just reach out. Hallelujah.
And Heavenly Father, help us, God, to look at you and not look at what the world is doing. Help us to get into our words and get to know you better, because those things that we are seeking after, God, if we get into our words, they're not important to us anymore. Only getting to know you. And that's what's best for us, God, because you know what's best for us. Everything good comes from you. And anything the world has to offer is only evil. So I pray, Father God, that we will look toward you. And that way we won't be lame going through this life. For it is in Jesus' most precious and his holy name that I pray, God. Amen and amen. Well, thank you all for coming out this morning and joining us, those in-house and those who are online. We thank you for joining us. And for all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day. Hope you have a wonderful day. And if you haven't had a chance to give, we ask that you would help us give. We ask that you would give so that we can keep upbuilding and uplifting the kingdom of God and continuing his work all over the world. And this week, we will not have Bible class. We have the week off, but the following week, on June the 26th, we will be getting into the book of Revelation. Yeah, we've done that once before, and I loved it, and it's an eye-opener. So please, if you can come out, it is a great study. And we also have an 11 o'clock service. So if you would like to come back, we would love to see you back. And with that, you're dismissed.